Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The toughest part of one new AD's job is about to get sliced in half. Just tap him on the shoulder when it's time to vote. Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. We talk college football. Are we aware Notre Dame has a new... Well, no, wait a minute. What is it? Friday? It's March 1st. I take that back. In about 3 weeks, Pete Bavakwa will be the Notre Dame athletic director. He's already been named. He's the NBC guy. And Swarbrick's been doing it for about 15 years. He's like, Swarbrick out. And Bavakwa's the new guy. So he takes over about March Madness-ish. So end of the month, he takes over. And you have to imagine somebody who is stepping from his previous life into athletic director at Notre Dame, well, he's got a lot on his plate. We'll have a transition that is familiar because he's worked so much. I mean, just overlap. It's, you know, he's got a lot of familiarity there. His personal history, his professional history at all. He still is the new athletic director at Notre Dame in 3 weeks. And when I say the toughest part of his job is about to be cut in half, folks, it's actually more than that. Because half would be about 16.5, and we're not even to that point. Chuck, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Bill Hancock is on the record now saying sometime in the next month, a deal needs to get done, and we're going to announce the permanent for a while going forward, as far as we know, until the money changes. 2 years, yes, you were right about the 12-team thing. And then within the next month, we need to announce the 14-team playoff and all the details. Okay, so what are the details? Well, it appears that we would go from a 12-team playoff with four byes to a 14-team playoff with two byes. If you look at the possibility to not play the first round of the playoffs, a lot of reward there. Anytime you cannot play, you can't lose and be eliminated. Folks, in a tournament situation, there's no rat tail. This isn't like a high school wrestling tournament. When you lose, St. Omaha, well, we're in the loser's bracket, but as long as we got our best two starters going. Yeah, it's a tournament thing. Lose, season's over, players come back on Monday, turn their pads in. That's the worst day. Under the previous, it hadn't even started yet. Under the playoff system that will start this August, but was announced like a year ago, we have 12 teams, four get a bye. That would be 33% get a bye. That's some incentive to get a bye. to bleed a little bit, to kind of stretch yourself to say, all right, how? What do we do? Now, you never are going to try to lose, and you're never going to sandbag, I don't think. You're never going to, like, be NBA team, load management. I don't think that's coming to college football. I don't think, at least not from the coaches. It's already there from the players, but I don't think from the coaches. And so that's some incentive. A third of the field gets a bye? Okay, well, let's be in that third instead of the two-thirds that doesn't. Except Notre Dame can't. When I say the toughest part of Pete Bavakwa's job is about to be cut in half, it's actually be cut more than that. Football, even at Notre Dame, where they've got a license to print money, I mean, it just, it's, they're not going to run out. And the old saying, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. Being independent, it makes dollars for Notre Dame. So this is all good, comma. But football really does still drive all of this. I don't know. The basketball team, they don't seat 80,000. Baseball, they don't seat 80,000. And they don't. There are some places they still don't even sell tickets except for like the premium stuff. So this is, yes, football. Economically, it drives it, brother. It's the reason we do like 70% of the other stuff we do is because of this one thing, athletically. And so safeguarding the monies. What about the money? Yes, safeguarding the monies. That is Bavakwa's number one toughest assignment. Make sure the money stays right. And that means make sure football stays right. And that means it's even more right when it's a playoff team. And when it's 12, it should be. But here is the big kick in the pants. And Swarbrick even went on the record and said it. As soon as they announced 12 and the first four get a bye and, what's the asterisk? There have to be conference champions. Swarbrick looked at everybody and said, y'all still want to say it's an advantage not being in conference? Well, could be, because there's no conference title game for you to play in. Win, lose, whatever. There's no conference championship game for you to play in. So we'll take that one game off the board. Now, the advantage is the conference title game, in a 12-game scenario, there are plenty of scenarios where it's not going to be an elimination game. And so the number of games can hold, but the stakes are different in a lot of cases. If you're a three-loss team and you got a rally in the conference title game, well, your scenario is the same. So I'm presenting the full picture here. But the math holds. A third of the field got a bye, and you had to be a conference title, had to have a conference championship. And Swarbrick even said, he's like, all right, guys, there you go. See? We can't be one of the first four, so there you go. The 33% reason you want to be in that top four, yeah, we can't do it. It's not even possible. So his job's tougher literally than anybody else. Anybody else. Like the Memphis AD's looking around going, wait a minute, we have a better deal? UCF is going, really? Us too? Notre Dame, doesn't matter. Who you play, strength of schedule, you're 12-0 and number one in America. Number five, hosting the home game. And so Bavakwa's got to manage the football monies. Well, the reason his toughest job, making sure football succeeds, just got more than cut in half. Because we're going from 33% getting a bye to only 14% get a bye. We're going from 12 to 14. Bill Hancock has said, we need to announce the details within a month. And part of that is going to be only two get a bye. At that point, the hammer swings over to Notre Dame's favor. Because now it's not, we don't get to play in a conference championship game. It's, we don't have to play in a conference championship game ever. Which means that Saturday, we're free and clear. And this time, if we are 12-0, we'll still host a home game, but it'll be a 3 seed, and we'll be playing a 14 instead of being a 5 seed playing a 12. Like, I don't know. I have a degree in English literature. I'm doing the math the best I can. When you start figuring in all these, like, Heath's going to have the exact percentages of how that even figures into it. Folks, you start slicing down what the advantage is, because it's not 512 anymore. It's 314 potentially. So in the undefeated 12-0 scenario for Notre Dame, sorry, still can't be 1 or 2. We're good. Same number of games as having a conference title game and then a bye at worst. If it's lose a conference title game and also not get the bye, which now is the scenario for the other 86% of the spots, not the other 67%, the other 86%. Now I have the scenario of, wait a minute, I'm going to play the 13th game and then still almost certainly not get a bye, even if I win the thing. Still not get a bye? Yes, you summarized it correctly. Okay. Notre Dame is now in the fabled catbird seat. It's just, the way the math lines up for them. Now, there still is the scenario that you show up, you know, week zero, and you work in the extra bye, and you stack everything, and you load up like Ole Miss said, we're loading up. You do everything, and you steamroll your way to 12-0, and then you roll into the conference title game, and it's an opponent like Iowa, who you like, there's no chance they're going to win. They may not score. And so it's easy street, and you know you'll be number one, not when or if, just after we beat them. We're going to be number one, and so we get the bye. Ever so often, there will be that scenario, bully for them. Whoever that is, whether it's Michigan or Georgia or Clemson or Penn State 1 year, Miami. Most likely, do you know what it is? You're having an outstanding season. Maybe you are 12-0. Maybe you're Georgia last year. And it's hammer and tong in Atlanta for the SEC title game. And you barely lose that thing. And so you go from 12-0, played an extra game, and now there's... Brother, you're in the hopper. You are in a jackpot, and like it, there's mines everywhere. It is a tough scenario for Bavakwa. He's looking around, going, "My life just got at least half easier." So it's rolling, man, for Notre Dame. This is a nice scenario. Now, Marcus Freeman has to present and go out on the field, and he has to still be there in 2 years. But the likelihood is you got 2 years of 12, and then they go to 14, and they figure some contracts after that. But that will be the idea going forward. And they'll book it like they've, depending on the number of bowls that are in whatever rotation, they will book it for a number of years so that each bowl gets two full experiences. That means hosting, you know, whatever the stakes games are, throughout a cycle. And so that's what, and then the championship game will be put up for bid. So it's just money falling out of the sky. You just got to, you know, walk out there with a basket, and they're trying to walk out with the biggest basket possible. It's a Friday on Chuck Oliver Show. We break. We will get into it next.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show, we roll along on this Friday. We're talking with Heather Denich in hour two. Talking to her about playoff expansion. The numbers are going up, and she knows what it's about. So she is boys with Hancock and everybody out there and covers it like nobody else. So we'll talk to Heather next hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Jason Caldwell. What a good source for Auburn information. Auburn Undercover, it's a 247 thing. Top of the hour, noon hour, Mike Craven, Dave Campbell's Texas Football. He's a senior writer out there. We'll start with SMU because I've got a lot of questions about them, what their future is. So that's what we got coming up. It was a football decision, folks, not a financial one. But boy, Nick Saban did not recognize a bargain. Turns out, There was One, the only above board public by the rules way for a school, everybody knows it, for a school to pay off, to buy off, give extra benefits to a recruit. Now, this has all changed as of July 1st, 2021. At that point, it became about hard cash. But prior to that, there was a way for the schools to do it, and everybody would do it. Everybody knew most times for a school to give an additional benefit to a recruit just so we can get this kid. It's all we want. He's a five-star. He's a receiver. He's a stud. Boy, we want him, and we are going to give an additional benefit that we wouldn't give somebody else. It was a deal for the schools, too, even if Nick Saban said no. In the case of Keenan Allen, if you remember, he's the guy still with the Chargers. And all these years ago, in February of 2010, he was a graduating senior from high school in North Carolina. And he was a five-star, and he was a stud, and he was looked at as somebody that I think the recruiting profile actually said so good that in March of 2024, he'll still be in the NFL. Like, that was like, recruit this guy because he'll still be in the league. So Keenan Allen, he was five-star, stud, and it was supposed to turn out for him, and everybody wanted him, including Nick Saban. And for a minute, he was either committed or about to be, or it was all but. And then I started hearing all kinds of sketchy things about Keenan Allen. And the mama was involved, and the uncle was involved, and all kinds of family members. And they wanted special deals and benefits. And I was like, oh, bad kid, stingy kid. He's got his sticky fingers out there, got his hands out like cups. That was the word about Keenan Allen. Turns out that wasn't actually what was going on. If you remember, Keenan Allen, he had a half-brother, a guy named Zach Maynard, who was 2 years older and was already playing quarterback at Buffalo, University of Buffalo. And so Keenan Allen was saying, hey, I'll go play for you. Give my brother a scholarship. I want to play with my brother Zach Maynard. And when that became the deal, Nick Saban was like, yeah, no. Now, when I say it was a football decision, Nick Saban looked at it and was like, I love you, Keenan. I'll get another five-star. And he did. I'll get another five-star. And it won't cost me two scholarships. There are plenty of places that do it. Do y'all remember Dayreek Rogers? Folks, Dayreek was my goodness. Dayreek decided he didn't want to be an NFL receiver. So, but Dayreek was just an uncoverable monster, just a physical, just should have been a five-time Pro Bowler, should have been a guy like Keenan Allen that all these years later in March 24, I'm saying, yeah, Dayreek is still in the NFL. Heath, do you remember how Tennessee got Dayreek to go to Rocky Top scholarship-wise?
I can't say that I do.
Yeah, it was minuscule because the guy never played. He's like, I want my high school teammate, my quarterback, guy named Nash Nance, I believe. I want him to come with me. Tennessee said, heck yeah, Dayreek. And they quickly realized that Nash Nance couldn't play at that level. And so he transferred out. But they gave him the scholarship. And Dayreek turns out, yeah, Dayreek, why don't you leave too? Like, we're all just kind of sick of you. So Dayreek, it never really turned out. But the deal was, I want another scholarship for this person. Keenan Allen said that. Nick Saban said no. Keenan Allen's freshman year at Cal Berkeley, who he signed with in February, that next academic calendar year, that next school year, tuition at Bama was $20,500. Alabama could have gotten Keenan Allen for $20,500. Arch Manning's name, image, likeness revenue for the first 12 months on the Austin campus is estimated at $3.8 million, and he didn't play. Nico played the bowl game and sort of some. His total haul, it's closer to $9 million. $20,500 and the scholarship, one less, $20,500. And Keenan Allen was like, I'll go anywhere, including Cal Berkeley. Now, I'll give Keenan Allen credit. That guy has produced. He showed up in the NFL. He's like, hi, I'm the baller. I'm the best guy here. And he's played, and he's played hurt, and he had a career year this past season as like a 31-year-old. He has been a monster wide receiver since he showed up as a freshman at Cal and did get to play with his brother Zach Maynard for a couple of years. Cal scholarship is like way, way, way more expensive than like, heck yeah, we never get a shot at Keenan Allen. Nick Saban's like, y'all go get somebody else. Hey, how's that Friday?
Well, it's better than Darren Revelle's. Chance see what Darren Revelle had to say yesterday about Caitlin Clark, Chuck? It sounds like perhaps you did.
I did. And I guess if you get legalistic about one part of it, yeah, it was true. But, boy, it was the wrong impression.
So, Darren Revelle, for those who do not follow social media, the former ESPN CNBC business reporter decided to go at Caitlin Clark, saying she was taking a $750,000 salary cut by opting yesterday to announce she was going pro. Without getting into all the details, that's not a very good take. Regardless, though, it reminded me of just how bad Darren Revelle is when it comes to college sports, Chuck. I just want to take you in the Wayback Machine here, because I interacted with Revelle on this at the time, and I was just like, you have no idea what you're talking about. He insisted that Texas A&M was making a horrible decision by leaving the Big 12 to go to the SEC.
What?
Quoting one tweet here. This is Darren Revelle, September 21st, 2011. Quote, time for Texas A&M to come to its senses now. Better financial move is to stay in the Big 12. Forget hurt feelings. CNBC, you can still find this on their website. Darren Revelle, Texas A&M's addition to SEC won't mean much to TV contracts. This is not a joke. He insisted to anybody who would listen that A&M was making a huge mistake coming to the SEC, that there would never be a game that would make the kind of money for them that losing the Texas game would. You could never make that up with the rest of the revenue from the SEC. No other game would ever matter like the Texas game, and it was a terrible decision to leave.
If Sankey would have treated the two spots like Hunger Games and like put 14 athletic directors out there, I think the A&M athletic director would have said, yeah, I'll try it. I'll go Hunger Games for the spot. Much less it being a mistake and we'll stay in the Big 12. Like, you don't even have to have a very sophisticated understanding of the basic economics to know that's not close to accurate.
Yeah, I just have always been fascinated. This guy, by virtue of basically being the first person nationally to do it, has been able to parade himself as an expert forever. I am telling you, there is plenty of evidence, particularly from the college scene. Darren Revelle knows less about this than your random barber.
Is Mel Kiper an expert on the draft? Like, he invented that, and I think he, despite what he's had at some very high-profile moments, I mean, does a pretty good job with it. You may be closer to true with Revelle.
Catch the king of college football.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
No matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app, catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
66. That's how we do it every day on the Chuck Oliver Show. I appreciate y'all making this blessing possible. Been doing it for 10 years. Thank y'all. Better players. That's one way to improve on the field when it comes to passing game. Better quarterback, better receivers. Auburn is certainly taking giant steps towards the better receiver sort of thing, at least more highly recruited. They got some just absolute monsters, like physical big giant monsters coming in. And when Nick Saban said, I quit, Hugh Freeze was like, let's go down to Sarah Land. Maybe we'll get one more. And they got all involved with Ryan Williams. So credit to Hugh Freeze. He is being bold, and there are some results. Courtesy of him, his track record, the other coaches, the name, image, likeness, like the whole thing, man. That's what it is in 2024, and he is making it work. I want to welcome on right now Auburn Undercover. It's 247 thing. Jason Caldwell, how are you today, man?
I'm good, Chuck. How about you?
Doing okay. Let's talk passing game for 2024. Auburn's a couple of days into spring camp, so let's go ahead and talk September. Cam Coleman, he's an early enrollee. I'm sure you've seen him multiple times since he was maybe, I don't know, freshman, sophomore. When did you see him the first time, and what kind of college career can he have beginning this September?
I think the first time, he was on the roster the first time I really remember him, spring practice before his junior year, and I walked on the practice field, and Pastor Nick said, that guy's a future NFL guy. Day one of spring. And he's probably not very wrong on that one. He had coached, Patrick coached Calvin Johnson at Georgia Tech when he was there. And he said, like, this guy's got the same makeup. And I've seen him get bigger and stronger. I've watched him a bunch now over the last 2 years. And when I saw him Tuesday, our first day of spring, he's a guy that's probably gained 8 to 10 pounds of muscle already since he's been on campus for 2 months. So I think a guy that's going to be on the field really, really early for this team in the fall.
All right. That can be for a receiver because, you said Calvin Johnson. Like, he showed up as a freshman. He's like, all right, I'm better than everybody. That can be a receiver. For a quarterback, that's a different sort of deal. Talk realistic expectations, but also, like, what the possibilities are for Walker White.
Yeah, I think you have to learn. There's so much more involved in being a quarterback. And as Hugh Freeze said, he's swimming right now. That's the thing. How quickly can you get it to slow down? I think that's the biggest part for Walker White. Physically, he's there. Now, he's a smart kid. He'll pick it up. But do you have time to do that to stay in a quarterback battle? That's the thing that you have to figure out. The good news for him is that they're it's not a brand new offense, but this is back to Hugh Freeze's offense where it's his terminology. So everybody's learning new terminology. Everybody's learning some new, it's going to be a similar style, but it is new terminology. So that probably helps Walker White some in that everybody's kind of on the same page a little bit. But those older guys, especially, a guy like Peyton Thorne, he has been in college. He understands that it's going much easier for him to pick things up because he's seen it, even if it's not called the same thing. So, I think Walker's a guy that'll have a chance here and we'll get to show what he can do in the spring because it's pretty wide open.
Talk to receivers who aren't there right now. I don't think Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons, two different bodies and different receivers and whatever else, but talk about what they can bring. Two huge in-state guys as well.
Yeah. Perry's a big physical body. When you look at him, 215 pounds or so probably, can really run athletic after the catch guy. And then Malcolm Simmons may be the best athlete in the state, one of the best in the country. All he did recently, they were playing basketball, still in basketball season. They had the indoor track and championships, and he went from basketball to track the next day and jumped 6'10", and won the state championship in 6A in the high jump, and then went back to basketball. So a tremendous athlete. I think those two guys will, again, it's going to be more difficult to come in the summer and kind of catch up probably. But yeah, athletically, both those guys are going to have a chance to make a big impact.
Okay, let's talk, because the future, I mean, you can get all excited because it's way, way down the road. Let's talk right now. Hugh Freeze has been pretty open. I'm changing things and culture, and we're new direction. And I'm like, all right, without Cadillac Williams. And I'm, there's all kinds of, you can Google search and find out, you know, rumors and whatever you want. But talk about culture minus some Auburn grads and Etheridge and Cadillac and whatever else. This is an interesting spot for Hugh Freeze as he enters year two.
Yeah, you lose one, you bring one in. And Charles Kelly, a guy that was played for Coach Dye and has been a coach Florida State and Alabama and other places. So you bring a guy like that in to you know, still have some of those Auburn ties on the staff. But I think he has basically said, look, last year we had to do too much of it as in coaches. He wants the players to take over ownership of the team, and I think he has helped nudge that along. And you've got some older guys now that I think have taken that and run with it. That's where it has to start. Players have to be I think in college athletics, college sports, that's still a big deal. And I think it's a big deal anywhere, but I think if you can get a player-led team who hold each other accountable, that's a big start. And I think that's what they're looking for. I think too much had been allowed to slide in some places probably. And I had somebody respond to me yesterday, goes, why is it taking a year? Well, you don't change things in 6 days. Sometimes it takes a while to change everything in a football program, and they're still not there yet. But I think there's steps headed in the right direction.
All right. Everything we just said, it could all turn out to be very good versions of the possibilities if the quarterback isn't an impactful player in a conference like the SEC. Like the other stuff, it really doesn't matter a whole lot. Talk about Peyton Thorne and what the possibilities are. And, I mean, I'm asking about Peyton Thorne. He's really the only one I'm going to ask about. Do I need to ask about anybody else?
Well, I think there'll be other guys involved. I think it's a battle. Like I said, Holden Garner's there, Hank Brown, you mentioned Walker White. I think there's going to be a battle, but I think the quarterback nowadays the quarterback's only as good as the guys around him. I think the offensive line is going to be a better group. I think the wide receivers are more talented. Can they help you out? That's going to be the next step, because I've seen guys that I did not think were very talented that had monster seasons in the Southeastern Conference because of a bunch of really good players around them. And I'll go on the record, I think Mac Jones is one of those guys. I thought that guy was just an okay quarterback who had four wide receivers that were legit studs around him, and heck, he almost won the Heisman Trophy. The better players you get around guys, the better off they are. And Cam Newton's taking a lot of flack for talking about a quarterback on the West Coast. Same thing. I think that guy's a solid quarterback with a bunch of really good players around him, and they got to the Super Bowl. So I think if you can create better players and cohesiveness around a quarterback, it doesn't take Cam Newton or Patrick Mahomes to go out and win a bunch of ball games. You just got to have the right system and the right fit, and that's what they're looking for.
Okay, this is you can kind of run with this a little bit. It's the last thing for you I want to ask, and this is just from a personal standpoint, because given your age, like, this might be the first extended period of average that Auburn football has ever been in. There's been individual seasons, but then boom, you know, you pop right out of it. You know, Bowden shows up and goes undefeated, for instance. Tell me about the Auburn fan base, because for a lot of people, if you're in your 40s or even 50 years old, you've never experienced 3-4 seasons of this.
Yeah, it's a little different. You know, I was born in the end of Shug. So I vividly remember, you know, from the time I was born, I was in the second or third grade before Auburn ever beat Alabama. So I grew up in that 10-year stretch. I honestly think the fan base understands, and I think now they understand a little bit more how difficult the job was that Hugh Freeze took over, what happens when you hire the wrong guy, and how far it can set you back. But you're also allowed to get it back quicker. And I think they did a good job of holding it together, because it could have really fallen apart in this day and age where everybody can leave. They didn't. But I think now you understand, okay, there's a lot of work to be done. It's not going to get any easier. It's not just football. When you look at basketball, women's basketball, baseball, softball, every other sport, you add Texas and Oklahoma into it, and it ain't getting any easier at Auburn and other places. So I think they understand. I do think they're, I won't say antsy, but I think that hey, this just takes some steps. I don't think anybody expects Auburn to go win a national championship next year. But I think people say, hey, look, it's time to take the next step. And I know it's just year two, but that's the expectations nowadays when you start talking about the money guys make and everything that's going on in NIL. You go, okay, it's time to take the next step, and I think that's what people are waiting for.
There's no NCAA tournament basketball games on Auburn's campus, so no home games there. In the tournament setting, just real quick, give me 15, 20 seconds. What do you think Bruce Pearl's team is capable of in March Madness?
I think Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, whoever you want to name in this league and any other league, I think there's a lot of teams that are capable of making it to the Final Four. I think there's a lot of teams that can lose in the first round. That's the nature of college basketball right now. So I think if Auburn, if they can survive that one game where they don't shoot it well, then I think this team can go out and compete with anybody. That's going to be the challenge for anybody right now. Can you survive that bad game? Auburn survived it in 2019 in the opener against New Mexico State, held on to beat New Mexico State, made it to the Final Four. Can you survive that game? That's going to be the question for this team.
Auburn Undercover, you can get him every single day. Jason Caldwell, thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right. Jason Caldwell, 247, Auburn Undercover. So that's where Bruce Pearl is, and it's a very deep league with there's some cream at the top, and maybe that's Tennessee, maybe it's Kentucky. Could be Auburn. If, I don't know, if it was like make it, take it. If you won, you got to keep playing, and Auburn started at home. But I don't think like the Southeast Regional. They would have the first opening rounds, and they still do. They would have even like region finals in Knoxville, in Baton Rouge, in Tallahassee, in Huntsman Coliseum in Salt Lake City. Like, they would have Final Fours on campus. Those days are over. So Auburn will not be playing at home going forward, but it's just it's a deep league, and it means that you may be worn out by the time you get to. I've changed my opinion about that. The Big Ten convinced me, like, I don't know, several years ago, and it was pre-COVID. Looking at teams coming out of the Big Ten, I was like, they should be steeled for the tournament. They should be ready. It's like, no, they're beaten up, worn down. So you can tell a great team and great players, and even if it's just in a league with one or two other stud teams, in the SEC, I think it's probably a team like, especially if you play like Tennessee likes to, you may be really beat up come end of March. So I appreciate Jason coming on. We're going to break and continue on this Friday next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The reality of it is he's an elite athlete that we have to get on track this year. So both Harold has got to play better and our coaches have to get him involved more. So that's an important piece of what we do in the spring. And certainly where he fits within our defensive structure is going to be job one for us.
Brian Kelly, big fan of his, and I very glibly said, well, LSU buddy of mine, can we win a national title with him? And I was like, yeah, you won one with Ed Ogeron and one with Les Miles. I think you can win one, Brian Kelly. 2 years in, and you just had a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback his first two seasons. You didn't win one. You didn't come close, really. You didn't look a whole lot like a team that was going to. There were elements of it and there were individual days, but it just wasn't that. And especially defensively, and especially way back on the, in the secondary. So there's all that. But he's talking about Harold Perkins and specifically the defense and getting better. He's like, where he will fit, I think he said that. Well, he's going to fit in the middle of an even front. Well, let me take that back. He's a linebacker. Where he's going to fit is they're going to run an even front and he's going to be in the middle behind it. So that's the alignment. That's the literally where he's going to be, and that freaks some people out. Where are they going to line him up? He talks, or he did. He has talked more about it this week, about Harold Perkins, because they're practicing. He's talked about it and said that Harold Perkins is just going to be on fast forward. Is he's going to be, we're going to be more aggressive with him. It's going to be a lot less of the either bend and don't break, whatever that is, or a coverage or keep it in front of you or whatever. No, Harold Perkins is going to be going that way. So that's the new idea because it just didn't work. And the last thing you want is for any of your players to play slower. And when they think, when they're uncertain, when they're confident, they fly around. When they're uncertain, when they don't have that confidence, when it's new, when they haven't had the reps, when it isn't, I mean, Harold Perkins on the outside and it's time to close on somebody, that's must. He's not even thinking. His body just, when he turns into Charles Jefferson, that doesn't even require. When he's in the middle and he's supposed to direct these other people to do this and he's supposed to read the guard and then wait and see what the running back does, Harold Perkins is like, yeah, I don't do that very well. So he could, and he could be a, I'm sure, a productive player. I don't want Harold Perkins to be productive. I want him to be a game wrecker. And when he was 18, he looked like a game wrecker. Last year, he looked like a guy they were trying to teach civility to. So that's that. Boy, Nick Saban, there are so many ways. He'll just keep getting reminded. We'll keep getting reminded of all the just the ways that he either was different or he was the last to be a certain way. Coaching kids hard, not really a thing most programs are full of right now. Not really. Coaching hard is, it doesn't mean that you just don't have any rules, but it's just a general idea of the authority whose voices, who the leader is, the whatever, the direction of the program, who it's set by. Gus Malzahn is just a totally different feel because discipline and organization and yes, sir, and I responding to coaching, that is a key for a team that will evolve and whatever. Gus Malzahn putting the kids, allowing the kids to put their Twitter handles on the jerseys. It's very player friendly. Start naming me the player-friendly college football coaches who have won national championships. If you want to say Dabo, do you remember what Dabo said to Kelly Bryant? Said, I love you, but you weren't on the team, man. You don't get a ring. Sorry, bud. Dabo? No, Dabo's just he's a competitive, doe-eyed killer, man. He is. Loves the kids, but Who's the player's coach? Who really is that warm and fuzzy? And is that Nick Saban? I don't think it is. Loves the kids. Great for the kids, and the kids love him. Kirby Smart. See, same sort of thing. But you certainly wouldn't say pushover, easy. Jalen Milroe didn't get benched. He got demoted to third. And it was public, and Saban talked about it. And then he talked about how he responded to it. Said he didn't respond well to the coaching on that. They did not like how he responded to the film work after Texas. And they're like, okay, well, we won't have any film work for you after South Florida because you're third. And then they played the other two guys. Jalen responded well. Folks, are you kidding? A teenager or 20-year-old at that point, I think he's 20, and he responded the way Jalen Milroe did? Combination of really good kid, and there are established standards in the way we do things in the program. Terry Arnold right now, he's in Indianapolis for the combine. He'll tell anybody who will listen, the way Coach Saban treated me, well, like a man, he also benched me for Eli Ricks. He says, what Nick Saban did to me, he said, Nick Saban did for me. He said he did that for me. And he'll go read the rest of the story and all the comments. He said, he says, that's why I'm here right now and I'm about to be a first-round draft pick. He says, Nick Saban did that and that's why I'm here. So the ability to coach kids hard, folks, that's out the window, across the rooftop, run away. Very few places it still takes place, and Tuscaloosa has been one of them. So we'll see what it is going forward. What up, Heath?
So when you have to preface something by saying no offense, but that means obviously you know what's coming, something that, you know, probably could be offensive. We also have a separate capacity of this. If you say that's not a knock, if you say that's not a knock, the odds are pretty good. That is, in fact, a knock. And so we take you to the following quote from the past hour at Shane Beamer's press conference. They're introducing the new wide receivers coach. We mentioned him yesterday, Mike Furry, South Carolina, putting in a clause saying that if he leaves before the end of June, they would get $850,000. After that, it drops to $350K. Shane Beamer, quote, "The previous wide receivers coach made a decision he felt was best for his family. We collected the $450,000 then some for him leaving and allowed us to go out and hire an even better wide receivers coach in my mind, and that's not a knock." Chuck, does that seem like a knock?
In the fishbowl of the previous guy versus the new guy, that is a knock. That's, yeah, this guy's better, and the old guy paid for him.
That seems to me to be a knock. I mean, my thing is, look, the chances, if you're Shane Beamer, that you're ever going to maybe even talk to James Coley, much less look to employ James Coley again, seem pretty nominal. Why not? Let's let it be a knock. Why not? Why just say, yeah. Yeah, the last guy was all right. This next guy's
didn't
way
have
better.
The chest to coach here.
Yeah. Georgia's got a worse receivers coach than us. How you like that over in Athens, huh? We've got a better receiver coach than you, and you paid for it. Ha! Like, go ahead and live the gimmick at that point. You don't need to be, no, it's not a knock. Knock away, man. You're ticked. It's understandable. But knock away. I don't see the need to back away from it, really.
I think it's pretty clear what Shane's thinking there. I want to say that that's just kind of a verbiage that you always kind of throw that in there. He probably didn't even think about it very much. But you're right. It's the opposite of going chest out with it and saying, heck yeah, it's a knock because now our guy's better. It is a pretty funny situation.
Yeah. So for better or worse, we'll see who winds up down the line getting what they want from their receivers coaching. But I just thought it was kind of funny the way he put it there. He did specifically allude to the idea that they have not gotten production out of their freshman receivers. And so that's where you're going to judge this move, is whether or not they start getting production out of the freshmen when they come in.
All right, going to take a quick break, come back. Top of the hour, hour two, Chuck Oliver Show.
Hey, it's Finn, and if you've been listening to 680 for long, you know that I'm a big fan of Audi Atlanta. That's where I got my Audi Q8 e-tron, which I absolutely love. And it's the only dealership I would recommend to my friends and my family. And here's why. For one, Audi Atlanta has a great selection of luxury vehicles. They helped me find the exact SUV I was looking for, and the purchase was super easy. A fully transparent experience catered to me. The same experience they provide all their customers. And here's one more reason that makes Audi Atlanta so special. During the month of April, Audi Atlanta will make a donation to Enduring Hearts for every vehicle sold. Thanks to the efforts of Enduring Hearts, children with heart transplants are living longer and healthier lives. Get the Audi you've always wanted while supporting a great cause. To learn more about Enduring Hearts and to view our current specials, visit AudiAtlanta.com to start or complete your entire purchase online. Or shop Audi Atlanta in person, like I did, on Peachtree Boulevard just inside the perimeter. Together, we have the power to make positive changes that could last a lifetime.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.